This morning's message, Jacob the old man versus Israel the new man. And I told you this was a carryover from last week's sermon about Jacob. About Jacob the deceiver, about Jacob meeting God, and that it's like all of us, that especially those of us whose parents were religious or semi-religious, that about the church and the people in the world that has apostatized away from God. You can know God, but yet not serve God. Jacob was one that knew God, and he was determined to follow God on his own way, in his own means. But as listening at your testimonies this morning, apparently what we've been preaching and teaching in the last week or two, in the last month, it's going home to the hearts of the hearers where you understand that prayer and study of God's Word and meditation on God's Word is the only panacea. It's the only thing that's going to give you rest. It's the only thing that's going to enable you to do what you're supposed to do. You remember I said it was finished. Jesus finished it. He came and lived as a man. But that was a work that we must do. And that's what I want to kind of focus on this morning, the work that we must do. And it was within our reading scripture. And it has something to do with who you are, whatever your name is. That name for us this morning was Jacob. And I don't know, all of us are Jacob. All of us are Jacob. But you read in the New Testament where he says he's going to give you a new name. He gives us a new name. That new name is the name in that creation, that new creation in Christ Jesus. So Jacob was the old man. Israel, after he wrestled with God, was a new man. He was different. And like I said, I've been listening at you this morning, and you realize one thing that Jacob didn't realize is that now Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. The object of our faith has came. It's something for us to focus on, and that's Jesus. That's why he died and gave us of the new birth. Made that new covenant with us. That's what we was talking about, a new covenant. And there are a lot of people who call themselves born again, or that they know God as Jacob knew God, but not serving God. They're good in their own way. They continue in sin. They continue doing what they do. They call up on God. A lot of them will be in church for Easter or Christmas, and they say Jesus died for them, which is halfway correct here, because there is something you must do. You must do some killing yourself. And that has to be that old man, that old Jacob, who you are. And that guy, that man, a woman, whoever you live with, all those years, you have to bid him adieu. He has to die. He has to die. You have to wake up each morning killing him. You have to die daily. Because just like a seed, like a okra seed, a corn seed, or any kind of seed that's in the ground, when you plant that seed, if you uncover that soil, you'll see that seed has to burst open, and there's something green coming out of that seed. There's something new coming out of the seed. Unless that kernel falls into the ground and dies, there's no life that can come out of it. Out of death came the resurrection. Jacob had never died. Jacob didn't die, and he was still the old man. Colossians says, our reading scripture, mortify therefore your members which are upon earth. We talked about that word, mortify. You have to kill those members. You have to make them dead. You know what a mortician is? He works with dead body. He embalms that body. He works to beautify that old body to get it ready for you to see. But it has to be made right to be able to be put in the ground. Well, we have to be making this old body dead. We have to kill it. It says fornication and uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. All these things we must make sure we purge out of us.
The only way that can be done is through God's word. As you, I witnessed this morning, sitting down listening at you, you realize that the only way you can do that is supernaturally. Jacob couldn't do it supernaturally because he only knew of God. God wasn't within him. He hadn't made that covenant with God, whereas we make a covenant, that new covenant is the circumcision where God gives us, comes in and gives us a heart to obey him. He writes his laws upon our heart. As we walk in those laws and do those laws, that's what strengthens us. We be crucifying that old man. Jacob wasn't doing that. Jacob was still a scoundrel and a deceiver. All of his life he was a scoundrel and deceiver until he had to wrestle with God. In my introduction here, what I want to do, and you don't have too long an introduction, I'm trying not to make it last that long, but I want you to kind of keep this theme throughout the message this morning. It's in Colossians, that reading scripture. I want to read it from the Amplified Version, and each time I'm kind of reference back to it, but that you have it in mind what happened here, what Jacob didn't do. It says, So put to death and deprive of power the evil longings of your earthly body, which is with its sensual, self-centered instincts. Immorality, impurity, sinful passion, evil desires, and greed, which is a kind of idolatry because it replaces your devotion to God. Because of these things, these sinful things, the divine wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, those who fail to listen to and who routinely and obstinately disregard God's precepts. And in these sinful things, you also once walked, when you were habitually living in them without the knowledge of Christ. But now rid yourself completely of all these things: anger, rage, malice, slander, and obscene, abusive, filthy, vulgar language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new spiritual self, who is being continually renewed in true knowledge in the image of him who created the new self. So in that new covenant, he gave you the ability, when he placed you in Christ, when he gave you of his spirit, he gave you that ability to become just like him. By the death of Jesus Christ, he restored, he redeemed man in that death, burial, and resurrection. Because he accomplished what God wanted us to do, he reconciled us back to God. He put us back in proper standing with God. So if we look unto Jesus Christ, if we focus up on him and meditate in his word, that's what gives you power to go through each day. Now you have to kind of, you've heard of deja vu. Something that you've been through before, it seems like you've been through this before, or you've been in this place before. Well, there's going to be things coming up in your life that you didn't went through before that you need to handle a different way. You need to handle it without deceiving, without conniving, and accept the consequences. Because if you have any of these things listed that I just told you, greed, sinful desires, or covetousness, you can't fight fire with fire. You can't do evil because someone does you evil. You have to learn to turn that other cheek. You have to learn to fight this spiritual battle. Jacob was fighting a carnal, fleshly battle. And that's why God, he said we must crucify the old man with this lust thereof. We have to put to death our way of living. And I hear a lot of people, I know what to do for myself. I know how to survive. And I know, and you manipulate and con, and you're living the same way you was before you came into the church. Nothing's changed about you. You know how to get by. You know how to survive. And that's wrong. You have to start having faith and trust in God. You have to rest in Him and cease from your old ways, which Jacob didn't do. Now, let's look at this as a call to repentance. A call to repentance. Now, we're in the book of Zephaniah. I'm kind of skipping around a whole lot here this morning. And now we've been talking about the day of judgment and a time of judgment, the day of our Lord. And I told you that's your time. This is your time right now. You have to start to do right because you know you are being judged for all your actions. And it says we once walked in these things, so we can't walk the way we used to walk. We have to walk and live a different way. And it says, because of these sinful things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. So every time you handle things the way you used to handle them, those times you handle them the way you do now, if it's sinful, you remember every transgression, every sin and transgression is going to receive its just recompense of reward. That's why you can't ever get grip in life. That's why continually bad things happen to you and you can't do the greater things because you're consistently doing it the old way. You fall back on that old way and you never humble yourself and resist. And that's why Christ had prayed, keep them from the evil that's in the world. Don't let them handle it the way they used to handle it. Let them depend upon me. Learn to trust in Christ and not in yourself. Now, in Zephaniah, the second chapter, the first through the fifth verse, listen. He says, gather together, yes, gather together, assembly. Come in the church and learn this. As a people, not as yourself. He says, before judgment begins, before your time to repent is blown away like chaff, while you still have time or space to repent, before you get old and where you can't do this, well, you don't understand what's going on. I see a lot of people preaching to the people in the nursing homes and preaching to people or whatever. Well, it's kind of that space of that time has kind of passed them by because they're not cognizant of what's going on at that time. They don't know what to do either way. You leading and guiding them at that time. What I'm talking about, while the blood's still flowing in your veins, why are you able to make right choices? Why are you able to serve Lord, the Lord? Why are you able to do the right thing? He says, act now before the fierce fury of the Lord falls and the terrible day of the Lord's anger begins. Seek the Lord, all who are humble, and follow his commands. Seek to do what is right and live humbly. And perhaps, he's not guaranteeing it, he says, perhaps even yet the Lord will protect you and protect you from the anger on that day of destruction. Because the reason I say it is not guaranteed to all, because there's a conversion that has to take place. Just because you do good things doesn't necessarily mean you will be saved. Just because you walking a certain way and that you know God doesn't mean that he won't say, depart from me, I never knew you, because you may not have taken the proper steps after that salvation had been revealed to you. After that time of redemption, there's a time of deception. There's a time of deception. Listen at this about Jacob. I'm not going to go by points because I would have more than 7 points. 3 points more, I would have more than 3 points, and when I get to more than 3 points, sometimes it's confusing. But listen at this. In Genesis, the 25th chapter, the 24th through the 26th verse, it says, when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out reddish all over like a hairy garment, and they named him Esau, which is hairy. Afterward, his brother came out and had grasped Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob, one who grasped by the heel, a supplanter. And Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. Okay, so beginning from birth, you remember what I said, you're born coming in this world a sinner. You're shaping in iniquity. Here he was a deceiver coming out of this room, out of the womb. He was a heel catcher. He was a supplanter. He grabbed his brother by the heel to follow him out of the womb. They called him Jacob from the beginning. That's the old man.
That's who Jacob was. People used to have something in a name. You know, there's a lot in a name. I'll come back to that point. But be careful of names or what you call. And don't let nobody give you any kind of name either, any kind of nickname. A lot of times I see people go to trial or go to court or something, and the district attorney will use that against you because you can let somebody call you killer, a wild man, all kinds of names and everything. Watch what you allow people to call you. Jesus said he took his name serious. He said, don't use my name in vain. Don't call upon my name in vain. You be careful about names. Now, we see where Jacob was a deceiver from the beginning. This was in him. There had to be a change. There had to be a change. He was subtle coming from the womb. He had subtlety in him. Just like they say Satan was subtle. There are people that are subtle, that's their nature, a deceiver. That's their nature, trickery. And they come into the church. They're just as big as scoundrels as ever was. They come into politics or whatever it is. They're unconverted. They are there. And they'll supplant the church. They'll get you to doing what they do. And that's why they say one bad apple will spoil the whole barrel. We have to watch people come into the church trying to get us to listen at what they're saying and not listening at the word of God. The 29th verse of that 25th chapter. I tell you, he was subtle. He was deceptive. He was a tempter. Listen at this. Jacob had cooked reddish brown lentil stew one day. When Esau came from the field and was famished, and Esau said to Jacob, please let me have a quick swallow of that red stuff there because I'm exhausted and famished. For that reason, Esau was called red. You remember I said Edom was called red. Jacob answered, and first, sell me your birthright. Now he's about to take advantage of his brother. He see him hungry. What would scripture tell us in that case if we seen our brother hungry, if we seen our enemy hungry?
Feed you.
Jesus says, feed you. But Jacob said, I'll feed you though, but you got to catch you. You sell me your birthright. This is something God had promised him, told his mother about this birthright. This was something that was coming, but he wanted to gain it physically. You can't take away something someone had given to God. God had given whatever God has for you, he has that for you. Nobody can trick you out of that. Nobody can take that away from you, but you have to learn that. You have to meditate. So here, he devised a means. Now, he took advantage of his brother. And I know my children. I know my brothers. I know my parents. I know different people. I know all of you. That's why I say we need to know those that labor among us. We need to know each other. We need to get to know. One of the members was telling me the other day how they talk with other members and they get to know one another. And that's what the church should do. You shouldn't just meet just in the church and say, hey, then go on about your business. It should be times after church that you call one another, go visit one another, and learn of one another, get to know one another. And he knew Esau how he was, that this Esau was a fleshly, a carnal man. He wasn't about to die. You know, a lot of times I tell him, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. You're not that starving. He wasn't to the point of death. And he disregarded his birthright. He sent it. That's what God hated about him. He despised it. He treated lightly. He would rather feed his own desires. And remember, I tell you, keep looking at Colossians when I'm talking about this. It says, put to death sensual and earthly desires and passions. I need to start using that myself more. A lot of times I have to learn to refuse greasy fried food. That's a weakness of mine that things put before me. The other day I was bringing my wife home from the hospital and she said, well, what is that? And I was eating some chips and she said, you couldn't wait to get home to eat that? You know, you like to drive and eat a lot of times. She said, because she couldn't have that and was causing that. So I put it away because what did Paul say? If it causes my brother guilt or confusion, I wouldn't eat it. If something's going to offend you. So I put that away. See, some of the things that's not good for our health, This morning she had some weak toes with me or whatever, because I told her, you have to get to the wheat bread. You can't keep eating the white bread. You can't eat certain things. So those desires and hungers are going to be there. You don't want ice cream, candy, and cold drinks and all that. But those are things Satan uses as snares for the old man. Whereas if you have Christ in you, it's telling you to leave that alone. And he has given you the power to overcome those things. So whatever you desire, if you're praying to God about it, he'll help you overcome those things. But just look what's in East Jacob here. Now he's going to have to reap this for doing this to his brother. And his brother has his own battles. His brother was carnal and fleshly. So he sold him. He says, look, I'm about to die. So what is this birthright to me? Jacob said, swear to me today that you're selling me this birthright. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew. And Esau ate it and wiped his mouth and went away. You know, sometimes we treat the things God gives us lightly, the common grace of God. Let me tell you about common grace of God. It rains on the just and the unjust. Just because you have something or God's prospering you doesn't mean that you're in the spiritual family of God. God gives to those, that's how good God is, and that's how we should be. We should share, we should be good to those that are not good to us. Those that are our enemies, we should be good. That's what God does. His rain rains on the just and the unjust. He don't just allow it to rain over here and not rain over there. We have to be fair to all men. We have to be impartial if we're to be shaped and made in God's image. It's not a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye. We understood that wrong. See, that's what was wrong with the old covenant. It was weak through the flesh. Wasn't nothing wrong with the covenant itself. It's that man couldn't keep it because of man's heart and his thoughts and his ways. He was self-centered. That's the problem with Jacob. Now, you remember, if you went back and read this chapter, and I told you I want you to be a reading people. I don't know how many went back and read the story of Jacob in Genesis. You'll know when Jacob was on the lamb for eat from Esau, what all he did. Well, wherever you go, you could take those family traits with you. So that's why I say you better learn your brothers and sisters. You better learn about your mama and daddy. You might admire them and they might have good points, but you better know their bad points also. So you hear me talk good about my mother and good about my father or whatever, but I know that there are some bad things about them. I didn't like it at all myself. That's what he means by you must hate your mother, father, and sister, brother. There are some things about my brothers and sisters I hate because it's not right. God has given you that you can't cover up what's not right. If they have flaws, you have to know their flaws. Jacob, we're going to study later on about this, about the flaws he knew of his son, and he told him about it in later in life. It's almost like he was putting curses up on him because he was telling them about yourself. If the preacher tell you about yourself, it's out of love. If your parents tell you something about yourself, a friend is as faithful as the wounds of a friend. Sometimes people tell you things that hurt your feelings, but you better get them little feelings out of the way. A dead man shouldn't have feelings. You better search yourself and say, is he right? See, that is that criticism right? And then you go back and make that right. Then he can't criticize you on that anymore. See, some people tell you what's wrong with you. But that ain't no friend who see that you out of whack or something's not right and he allowed that to go. That's not a friend that helped you in a lie. You a liar and I go along with the lie. I'm just as bad as you and God's going to punish both of us. He got it from his mama. He got it from his mama. She wasn't right. She didn't trust God. Rebecca, Genesis, the 25th chapter, 22nd to the 23rd verse. Listen at this.
But the children struggled together within her. Her and Isaac had prayed to have children. And in having these children, what happened was something wasn't going on right with them inside of her womb. They were fighting. She prayed to God and asked God what was going on. They were kicking and shoving one another. She said, if it is so that the Lord has heard our prayer, why then am I this way? So she went to inquire of the Lord, praying for an answer. And that's what I told you. I see you praying. If you start praying, ask God and he's going to tell you the problem. He'll tell you what's wrong. He told her what's wrong when she prayed to him. Listen at this. The Lord said to her, the founders of two nations are in your womb. You remember I told you about the Arab people, Esau? So don't listen to that you wacky president trying to get you against people. We all brothers in this world. We don't build up walls. We tear down walls. There's no big us and little you. We're all of one father. We shouldn't distinguish of any nationality. There's no Greek, no barbarian, no Scythian. In other words, all of us are one in Christ Jesus. We all come from one set of parents. That's Adam and Eve. There shouldn't be racial wars. But God says in the end that nation would rise up against nation. He's predicting that a lot of people won't change. A lot of people will continue, even though they're in church, setting up walls and barriers to one another. Hatred and prejudice. So the Lord says, the founder of two nations are in your womb, and the separation of the two nations have begun in your body. The one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. God's prophesying here. He's telling her what's happening. And he told her that about the birthright, he told her everything he was going to do for Jacob, the younger. But she decided she wanted to help God. Watch it when you're helping God. Don't get in the way. You ever tried to stop a fight and you got hit in the nose?
Yeah.
If you see people fighting, the peacemaker have to be stronger than the two people he's trying to create peace with. They'll overcome him. How many times you done heard of somebody intervening in a fight or something and they get shot or stabbed? Be careful what you get in the middle to. Sometimes it's better to stay out of strife that don't belong to you. So we see here where God had explained to the mother, but that trait was in Jacob. That trait got to be in Jacob. Deception. Let's talk about deception here. I keep telling you he was a deceiver. All this is from last week when I was telling you that Jacob served God, but it was weak through the flesh, like a lot of us trying to serve God. And it's been so hard. A lot of us, if it ain't one thing, it's another. But maybe it's something else that you're doing, and you need to get that out of the way. Not that it's not right. That we read in Zephaniah, to those who follow God's commandments and his judgment, it seem hard or tough. But maybe you're going at it the wrong way. It is right to follow God. Verse 20, chapter 27, the fifth verse. It says, but Rebekah overheard what Isaac said to his son Esau. And when Esau had gone to the open country to hunt for game that he might bring back, Rebekah said to Jacob, her youngest and favorite son, listen carefully. I heard your father saying to Esau, your brother, bring me some game and make a savory and delicious dish of meat so that I may eat it and declare my blessing on you in the presence of the Lord before my death. So my son, listen carefully to me and do exactly as I command. You be a good boy and honor your mother. You go to hell right along with her.
Yeah.
Listening at her. First of all, she shouldn't have been running around there snooping and listening.
Yeah.
A lot of time you snoop and listen, you hear something that you don't want to hear. You hear something you shouldn't hear. But she heard something being said there, and she got in the mix of it. She want to fix it up herself. She want to get there to nine and make it go the way she want it. Stop. We can't make our children be what we want them to be. Let them turn alone when they grow. God's going to bring them the way he has to bring them.
Amen.
We don't want to let go of the steering wheel. We want to guide and control everything.
And then we don't know what God about to do. The old man Isaac, Esau was just as crazy as his daddy. He didn't know he was about to die. Probably he was going for something to eat right there. He wanted something to eat, say, let him eat something and die. Well, it might have been he was eating too much. He might have been eating too much. He was always eating. And what happened here? He lived another 30 or 40 years after this. He lived after this. He didn't die. He didn't die right here. But see, it was all in the providence of God. So we have to be careful what's going on in situations. And so they had favorite children. He liked Isaac because Esau was just like him. She liked Jacob because Jacob was like her. We have to stop choosing sides. Remember I told you, we have to follow God, not mommy and daddy. We have to follow God. God gets you to a point where you follow him. So for this chicanery that he did, his brother put a death threat out on him. Like I said, there are consequences of you doing people wrong. That's what's wrong with the United States today. They didn't intervene and meddle in so many nations' affairs. And when them chickens come home to roost, they want to say, oh, they're doing this because we're a Christian nation and because we are right. No, it's doing it because way back here 20 or 30 years ago, you stuck your nose in somebody's business and did something you shouldn't have done. A lot of times we go do things and then we say people are doing this because we're Christian. Don't try to bring Christianity in this. Look at your ways. Examine your ways. Have you did something wrong? What have you did these people? Esau replied, the 27th chapter, is he not rightly named Jacob, a supplanter? For he supplanted me these two times. It's the second time he done tricked me. First he tricked me with the food and got my birthright, night and tricked me with this animal and got the blessing. For he had supplanted me these two times. He took away the birthright and the blessing. Have you not reserved the blessing for me? And he didn't have one left. He had blessed Jacob. And a lot of times we get things that God was going to give us, but we have hardship along the way. Have you only one blessing, Father? Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, your dwelling shall be away from the fertility of the earth and away from the dew of heaven above, but you shall live by your sword and serve your brother. However, it should come to pass when you break loose from your anger and hatred that you would tear his yoke off your neck and you will be free of him. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are very near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Whenever you go, brother, that's when I'll put the hurt on you. That's when I'll kill you. See, that ran through that family line. That runs in the family because if you keep looking, these same children in the same line, the 10 brothers did this to Joseph. They tried to kill Joseph and they threw him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. And then Joseph's father died when Jacob died, this same scoundrel, when he died, his sons say, well, Dad said, don't do us nothing for what we did you. Jacob said, I'm shocked by this. I'm appalled. He said, I'm standing in the place of God. What you did to me for evil, God meant it for good. All them things your brothers and sisters did you in life, your friends did you, your parents, whoever did you, you put that to God's account. You forgive them. As you trespass people, you forget what your brothers and sisters did to you. You forget what your enemies did to you. God meant it for good. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord. Don't you try to even to score up yourself and try to pay somebody back. You be forgiven. They had did this before. Oh, there's nothing new under the sun. This has been happening ever since the beginning of time. Nothing new. Cain killed Abel. Nothing's new under the sun. We're trying to kill our brother in that. That's why God told Esau, one of these days you go break free. One of these days you go break free. Right now I heard our president say that they wanted to go over there and they should have kept oil. They want to go take our rocks off. You always want to take something that's not good for you. We have to stop taking and allow God to give. He said, if you seek the kingdom of God, these things will be added to you. That's why he said we're covetous and idolatrous, because we hadn't changed, even though we say we're a Christian nation, and we always got that in the back of our heart. We could do it, you know, you want to throw a brick and hide your hand. You want to do something wrong and run hide up in the church. You want to do your little dirt and then hide behind the Bible. That's not the word. There are rewards for deception. Remember I told you Hebrews had, it says, every sin and transgression to receive is just recompense or reward. Mm-hmm. Listen at this. This is conniving mama again.
Yeah.
When these words of the elder son Esau were repeated to Rebekah, that she go listen and somebody telling again. Yeah. She got her snoops out. You know, that's happening in politics now. This guy going to tell this guy going to snoop here, and he didn't heard this and saying that. Stay out of gossip and tell that. Leave that stuff alone. He says, put these things away. Rebecca heard this, and she sent for Jacob, her younger son, and said, listen carefully to your mama. Your brother Esau is coming. He's planning to kill you. So now listen and do what I say. Go to your brother Laban. Stay with him for a while until your brother anger subsides. When your brother anger towards you subsides and he forgets what you did to him, I will send and bring you back from there. Why should I be deprived of both of you in a single day? Then Rebekah said to Isaac, and she tried to make it seem like for another reason why she was sending Jacob off. Now she lying to her husband. She going lying to her husband. It's a lie. So she says, I'm tired of living because of the daughters of these insolent wives of Esau. If Jacob take a wife from the daughter of Heath like these daughters of the land, what good will be my life to me? So now she's sending them to his brother Laban. She's sending them back where she came from. Back into the wolves den. She knew how her daddy thing was when she was there. He was a crook. He's still a crook. A crook's going to be a crook unless God changes. And she's doing crooked. She's done did all this crooked. And you know, Jacob never did see her again. What she did, she was saying why should she be deprived of him. She was dead when he came back. But old man, the dad was still alive. He wasn't about to die that day. He thought he was going to die. But she was dead. Her chicanery and her deception caused her not to see her son again. That's the same thing that happened with her granddaughters with later on. That's the same thing what happened with Rachel. Rachel wanted children so bad she said, give me a son lest I die. That's what she had Benjamin. You know, that's the mother of Benjamin is the mother of Jacob. I mean of Joseph. And Rachel is the mother of Joseph and Benjamin. She was competing with her sister Leah. She said, give me sons lest I die. So in this competition, she did die in childbirth. When she had Benjamin, the irony of it, she did die after she had him. So don't say things. Be careful what you're asking for and what you're saying. She died in childbirth. So Jacob had this dream, and this is his confession to God. Listen, how many of y'all confess to God? And I'm not picking on you, Sister Jackson. And I'm not picking on anybody that hears this that's been in jail or anything happening. But once you get in the tight, that's when you pray to God. I've done that. How many people, they say they had a jailhouse confession, and a lot of them end up on death row, and they say, oh, they're a Christian, they're converted. Yeah, but they still got that sentence where they murdered somebody, or they was an alcoholic and did this. They carry out that death sentence. They shouldn't put them to death because they didn't change while they was in there. But you still owe a debt to society. You know, they do put them to death still. Even though they say they converted,
you're going to pay for your sin. A lot of people, Lord, if you get me out of this jail, I'll never do this again. I'll never do that again. They are habitual offenders. They back in the street. They did the same thing. How many times you hear the news about this, the second person, this person didn't kill? Yeah. Or this is third or fourth time this didn't happen. He got 20 DWIs, you know. I don't know how many DWIs he had. They ain't keeping up with him no more. We pray to God, if you get us out of the hospital, if you get this off, Lord, if you get me out of this financial bind I'm in, if you get me over this. Well, he went there and he had a dream. He says, Genesis 29th chapter, 10th verse. Now Jacob left Beersheba, never to see his mother again, and traveled toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed overnight there because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it on his head and lay down there to sleep. He dreamed that there was a ladder, a stairway placed on the earth, and the top of it reached out of sight toward heaven. And he saw the angels of God ascending and descending up on it, going to and from heaven. And behold, the Lord stood above and around him and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, the father of Abraham, the God of Isaac. I will give to you, listen to this promise. This is a promise, but you remember I told you the old covenant was weak through the flesh. This guy saw God. He was dreaming and God talked to him and God promised him this. He says, I will give to you and your descendants the land of promise on which you are lying. Your descendants shall be as countless as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east and north and the south, and all families of the nations of the earth shall be blessed through you and your descendants. Behold, I'm with you and will keep you, careful watch over you and guard you wherever you may go, and I will bring you back to this promised land, for I will not leave you until I've done what I promised you. Then Jacob awoke from sleep and said, without a doubt, the Lord is in this place, and I did not really realize it. So he was afraid and said, how fearful and awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gateway to heaven. So he got up early in the morning, took the stone he had put on his head, made an altar, and poured olive oil on it, and he named the place Bethel. You notice a lot of churches now named Bethel. That's a place of God, a place where God is. This man seen God. He talked with God. God made promises to him. Wasn't long before he got up off his knees, he was back at it again. He was lying in Canaan. Yeah. He was lying in Canaan. Once you get out of that bind, the old covenant was weak through the flesh. That's why God says, I'm going to make a new covenant with you. And that's why I was here for the sit-down, and I was listening at y'all this morning during your testimonies. And that's how I say, that's how you get to know your people, through talking. Sometimes let somebody else say something. I get up here and I talk an hour or so or whatever, but I want to sit down and hear what y'all say. What's going on in your lives? Where you at? And I notice each one of y'all realize that whether you're in a hospital, whether you're going through trial and tribulation, whether you're out there working and trying to get things done, you must be prayerful to God at every minute, asking God to allow you to complete that task, looking, and when that task is completed or whatever happened, you know it's that God that's done it and that God had never left you. He had never left you. He gave in the new covenant. We know what the word says. Here in the New Testament, we see that God is, he sent his comforter to dwell in us and to lead and guide us in all truth. So even though that's a small, still voice, that small, still voice should be talking to you to follow the word of God, to stay truthful to God and get away from self. Get away from self, even though it's going to cost you, even though it's going to cost you something, don't try to save self. If you try to save your life, you will lose it. You have to be willing to sacrifice. You have to be willing to give it away. You have to be willing to lose your life. Now, he made some promises, and like I say, before the law was, God had put it, men knew what to do. They didn't have ability to do. Now, the law hadn't been given yet here. You remember, it was some 300 and some years later that the law came.
Because when he made this covenant with Abraham, it was a covenant of belief. It was through faith. That's why I say, we're the children of Abraham. We should have faith. So the promises we make to God and what we're doing, we should keep them because we want to keep them. We enjoy keeping them, and it pleases us to do his commandments. That he had wrote it up on our hearts that we want to do that which is pleasing God. We're not being legalistic. It's that God's talking to us through his spirit. Now, like I say, Moses hadn't given the law. But they were already observing the Sabbath day. They was already, listen at this. Then Jacob made a vow, a promise, saying, if God be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food to eat and clothing to wear, and if he grants that I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. This stone which I set up as a pillar will be God's house, a sacred place to me, of everything. Now, we don't today. We know we don't have to make vows, and God tells us to vow not at all. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. But we know what God requires of us and what we should do. So that's what we do. And he's making these to God because he sees God and he says, if God prosper me, if God give me a job, if God give me food, he says, I will give the tenth to you as an offering to signify my gratitude and dependence on you. In other words, I'll tie it to you. I give you a tenth. For all the money you give me, I'll give you a tenth back. That's a sign to show that I appreciate what you're doing for me, that you're giving me wealth, that you're giving me food, and that I'm dependent upon you. That's what tithes and offering is. It's a symbol between you and God that you're dependent on God and that he had given you power to get wealth. So if you're not doing that, that means you don't have faith and confidence and trust in God. The Sabbath was given as a sign, as a seal to show that you're God's people. That's a sign. All these things, so it's written on our laws. We can do these or not do these things. That's where our choice comes in. We can walk therein in a new way and start mortifying the way we used to live. Where we used to live, when we get paid on a Friday or something, this is my money. I'm going to get this, and then I'm going out and get drunk. I'm going to buy me this. I'm going to eat this. Every time you get money, you would spend it on yourself. But see, the new covenant, the first thing you think of, I'm going to give back to God because he's the cause and the reason I have this. And then I'm going to eat and enjoy the rest of this because I have placed God first in my life. See, Jacob wasn't doing that. He said he would. And that's what I say by Christians. They sit in church, they walk around in the world and talk God, but they're not doers of what they're saying. They're not living that way. God continually giving. It rains on the just and the unjust, but only those God had chosen and made a covenant with are doing what God say do. That's the difference. He writing that law. You can't do it wrong because that's your nature. You put it in the depth to what you used to do. The man you used to do be. Treachery. Now he's showing his carnality here. He says, then said Laban to Jacob, just because you are my relative, you shouldn't work for me for nothing. Tell me what you should be your wages. And now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes was weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. And Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, I will serve you as a hired workman for 7 years in return for the privilege of marrying Rachel, your younger daughter. Laban said, it is better that I give her in marriage to you than give her to another man. Stay and work with me. And so Jacob served Laban for 7 years for the right to marry Rachel. But they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. So he wanted to marry Rachel. What's wrong here? What's the problem here? He's skipping over the one that didn't look as good. You see, a lot of us like what looks good. A lot of us like what appeals to the flesh and appeals to the eyes. Instead of asking God, is this the girl for you? Before I got married, I had asked, is that the woman for me? I'd asked God to give me the right wife. I had had a little conflict earlier before I got married. But this time, I say, well, God, I don't want anything. I don't want deja vu to happen again. Is this right for me? And this time with my children and my wife, that's what happened. So I don't see him asking God here. And that's what's wrong with a lot of us. He had got up off his knees and saying he would do this and do that for God. But what is God telling you to do? We have to obey the laws of the land. We have to know. Without the police or without rules and regulation, we would be in a terrible fix. We'd be in a horrible shape. A lot of people fault Laban here for slipping the older daughter off on him. But Jacob should have learned the rules of the land. He should have asked God what to do. Because Laban gave him the older daughter. He had met a scoundrel just as big a scoundrel he is. That's why I say if you're a con man, more than likely God will let you meet a con man. You will get con. A crook meets a crook. The people calling Hillary Clinton a crook, now they're seeing what a crook actually looks like. This guy, this is ironic where the news programs have been playing where this very guy that says a person must be guilty who asks for immunity. Because the very words of his mouth, he says, I'll tell y'all what happened if you give me immunity. They're playing him and his boss saying those very same words a year ago about somebody else. It's easy to say things about the other person, but is it true about you? Now he's asking for immunity and people wonder, well, you said the only way a person asks for immunity is that he's guilty. So the law of the land, he says, we don't do that here. I couldn't give you the younger daughter. You have to marry the older daughter. Now, I'm not saying what we should do in this land, but we should follow God. And you remember I told you what's in a name? Listen at this name. Now when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he made her able to bear children, but Rachel was barren. So the woman Jacob loved wasn't having children, but the one he didn't love, God caused to have a lot of children. Leah conceived and gave birth to a son named Reuben. For she said, because the Lord has seen my humiliation and suffering, now my husband will love me since I have given him a son. So because of her humiliation, being humiliated before all the people, she named this son Reuben. I told you, be careful what you name your children. Be careful, there's something in a name. You don't catch women naming their children, their daughters Jezebel. You don't catch too many people naming their children Judas. Then she conceived again and gave birth to a son. And she said, because the Lord had heard that I am unloved, he has given me this son also. And she named him Simeon, which means God hears. God hears. We know God hears because the same thing happened to Hagar. And I told you that was the Ishmael is the father of that Arab people, of that the people in bondage. That was Hagar's son. That was the son Abraham had with his bond servant. And Sarah cast her out. It was Sarah's idea that he go in and have a child by Hagar. Hey, Sarah turned around and cast her out. And she was praying, and she prayed to God, and God says, I hear. And he said, I'll make that child a nation. God hears your prayers. If something's going wrong, pray to God. He hears your prayers. Just because he may not answer them right then, he hears what you're asking. He's with you. Talk to God. We know that God never leaves us. He has given his spirit to us. We have to, in that instance, follow God, though. Now she conceived again. Man, she was a baby factory, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She conceived again and gave birth to a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me as a companion, for I have given him three sons. Therefore, he was named Levi. We know that's where the Levitical priesthood came through, Levi. They would always be the tribe before the Lord. So she has some significant sons. This Leah did, the one that he had rejected. And again, she conceived and gave birth to a fourth son. And she said, now I will praise the Lord. She named him Judah then for a time, and she stopped bearing children. Judah, that's the tribe David came through. That's the tribe that Jesus come through. That's through who? Leah, the one who was rejected and unloved. Just because the world is not accepting you. If the world loved you, you wouldn't be a Christ. The world doesn't love you. God's going to make you prosper. He's going to cause you to be what you are. Just because you're not popular with the people in your neighborhood, just because everybody's not crowding around, God sees what's happening. You stay dedicated to God. Bondage and divination. And you remember I told you divination is wrong now. That's using, like Joseph used that cup, talking about the divine or whatever. That's what it is, Sister Eve and all these people that use stuff, talking about incantations and things. And that we're going into a shallowy realm now. Genesis 30 chapter 25th to the 43rd verse. It says, now when Rachel had given birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go back to my own place and give me my wives and children for whom I've served, and let me go if you know the work which I've done for you. The world's not going to let you go. No matter what you do, the world's going to hold you in bondage. Laban said to him, if I found favor in your sight, stay with me, for I've learned from the omens and divination and by experience that the Lord has blessed me because of you. The world sees God's blessings upon you. And you don't know why you're prospering. You think you're prospering because you're God's child. You prosper because you lift God up. God eventually rejected these people because they were consuming this stuff upon their own lust. It was for them. They wasn't glorifying God. Jacob wasn't glorifying God. You keep reading this chapter. Jacob started back to his old ways. He took it and he stripped some vines and he laid the vines in the water that they had made a bargain. It's too much to go through here in reading, but he stripped them so that the cattle would bear spotted and speckled cattle. It, within that same paragraph, God tells you he was the one causing the animals to conceive. But Jacob was using chicanery to do it. And see, that's what we do now. We use a lot of chicanery and trickery, and God's not in the chicanery and trickery. And that's, you remember I told you, it's much worse if you break this covenant than if you break the old covenant, because you are under the mediatorship of Jesus Christ. So what happened, you won't come out of your sin because God's blessing you, you feel. That gain is godliness. And that's what the word of faith churches, a lot of churches that preach prosperity. So what happens if you're doing something wrong, but God's allowing you to prosper? That God's giving you food. That God gives you cause. He gives you health. Some old people are very old. You're not going to come in out of your seat. You understand that? If you're doing good, that's why God, it says, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Things happen to us, and if God had to bring Jacob out of bondage. God's the only one that can bring you out of bondage. When he got ready for Jacob to go the right way, to put Jacob back in the land, he moved Jacob and he put the fear of God in Laban so that Jacob could leave. So God was showing you he was doing it all along, But Jacob never realized this. All of those years when his mother had died and all these things, he never realized it was God doing the work. See, and the way, only way we will realize that, if we start putting self to death, we'll start to see God at work. So he made a confession to God, but he continued in sin. And that should make us think about the New Testament, this new covenant. He says, shall we continue in sin that grace shall abound? By him working chicanery with those reeds and sticks to make the animals conceive, he wasn't trusting God. He had got that from his mother. God had told her he was going to make the child a nation, that he was going to prosper the child. But the mother told him to work deception, to lie to his daddy, to deceive his brother, to do these things. No matter who tell you, don't listen at them when they warn you against God. That's why it says you must hate your mother, father, sister, or brother. God has to be first. It's going to be many a man go to hell because of their wives, trying to please their wife. Well, God said, do this for your wife. Don't lie on God. Don't lie on God. You're not man enough to stand up for God, and God will pull that woman to you. She's got things in her life that she needs to get out of there, and he wants you to be a strong man, and that woman's going to follow you. See, the reason a lot of men can't keep their wives, or that the woman is dominant over them, they're not following God. Because God told them that he shall bear rule over you. That comes true if he's walking in God. Now, he can bear rule physically, and they can down that woman, be scared of him, and never turn against him. But it wasn't a spiritual marriage. He didn't know how she really, really felt because she was scared to tell him. But if she wanted to serve him and wanted to please God, God fixes it that way. See, we don't know if it's flesh or if it's God. But see, there's a way you can know you're serving God. And that is walking by the Spirit of God. That if you walk in the Spirit, his words will confirm these things. You have to know God's word to know what's Satan and what's not. There, when you attempt to do good, evil is right there because you're the evil. That old man is right there. Stop doing things the way you used to do and allow God to work. See, that's the way you have to come to yourself. Come to the consciousness that all your life you've been wrong and you hadn't followed God. That's why I said, humble yourself. Come to a point when you say, Lord, I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of doing this. I give it all to you. Turn it over to God. That requires repentance. There can be no regeneration in your life. You cannot come alive and to serve God unless you're doing what he say do under this new covenant. The new covenant has it all. It's a much better covenant because Jesus Christ is the mediator of that covenant. He's the one who told you to pray to the Father. When my mother said, you can't go to Christ, you have to pray our Father. She was right. But the only way you can get to the Father is that the Son reveal him to you. You have to help establish the laws of God. You can't establish your laws. That's why there's no unity in this nation, because everybody wants their own ways. Everybody wants to do it their way they want to do it. There can be no rules and regulations for them. And that's the problem with this nation. That's the only way that we can become a people, is that he destroyed this nation before we can become a nation. And that's going to be one nation under God. And that means all nations. Abraham, the father of faith, all of the nations of the earth. It won't be but one nation. Jesus Christ will be the governor of that government, will be up on his shoulders. That's when you can go anywhere and all men would be your brother. You wouldn't be against the people down in Latin America. You wouldn't be against the Russians or either, because we would all have God as our Father. There wouldn't be those that's creating division. But the only way you can see this is through the new covenant. That's the only way you can get life. It's that you walk in God's word. And the only way you can do that is to be a doer. But he prayed the prayer. He said, I pray not for the world. The world is passing away. But I pray for these. Keep them in the world, but keep them from evil in the world. So that means we got to start standing up as God's people. Stand up and be counted as one of God's sons. That's what the whole of creation is waiting for. It's for the manifestations of God's sons. Let God see you on his side, and he's going to raise you up to glorify him. Because you're not taking the glory. You will do just like Jesus Christ. You will give God the glory even though they're hanging on a cross. Amen. He says, I'll be lifted up. I draw men unto me. That's the only way your life is going to change. Is that you start seeing the old man has to die. Not I, but Christ that liveth in me, he must live. Amen. And the only way I can do that is by the mortification of the body. I have to lay aside. I have to stop lying. Whatever happens, let the chips fall where they may. But don't tell the truth. Stop lying to try to get out of a situation and to cover consequences and all this. Stop tricking and turning and hooking. Stop all these things. Stop sitting there wasting. If I give God a percentage of my time and meditate on his word day and night, thinking good things, I'll come to life. I'll enjoy eternal life. That's when you know that you've been born again. That's how you know God. Your spirit comes alive. But right now, you're dead. Your batteries are going down because you're doing it in your own strength. He says, if you won't rest, come unto me and rest. Cast your burdens and cares upon me. If you're tired, while there's still time, seek the Lord. Seek after him. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, help us to lift up your word, Lord God. Help us to lift you up, Lord God.